I want to talk to you this morning on calculating the cost of condemnation. Calculating the cost. What is the cost of condemning? For us personally, the Lord has a woman brought to him today who's caught in the very act of committing adultery, and she is clearly guilty. And the Pharisees, in order to trap Jesus and want him to bring up a charge against her that she should be stoned. Now, the law at that time permitted such a thing. But it was like in our own law, we don't always bring the most severe penalties that are available. We often have other remedies. So just because certain crimes carry with them certain penalties, that doesn't mean that the judge always assesses the full penalty. And that's the situation here. I want to frame this for you in such a way that we're encouraged to look at how we condemn and punish one another. Because the Lord is basically going to make an argument with these men of his day that they'd better be very careful before they become hypercritical and overly harsh in punishments. Because the measure that they want to measure to her will be the measure that God will use to measure them. I want to return to that. But before we do look at the text itself, I want to look at some background text with you that teach us and warn us that we will one day face judgment, and therefore we ought to have an approach to how we deal with others and how we judge them that keeps in mind that one day I am going to be judged. Let's look at a few texts. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. The Lord says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy." So, who are those who will experience mercy on the day of judgment? Only those who have shown mercy, who have been merciful. So again, brothers and sisters, here's the deal. You and I have an appointment. We're going to die. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed to us to live, to die once, and thereafter be judged. So, since you and I have the appointment that we're going to be judged, the Lord is saying, you want mercy on that day? Then be merciful. Likewise, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, the Lord says, "Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Do not condemn so that you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." Now pay attention, here comes the rule. "For the measure that you measure out to others will be measured back to you." Someone ought to say, "My Lord." The measure that you measure to others will be the measure that God will use for you. So the Lord's advice is, be merciful. You want mercy? And how many of you know, now be honest with me, how many of you know that you're going to need a lot of mercy on the day of judgment? The Lord says, here's the deal. I will show mercy to those who have shown mercy. It is the merciful who obtain mercy. Be careful. Do not condemn so that you will not be condemned. Forgive in order that you may be forgiven. And the measure that you measure to others will be the measure I will use to measure you. Now another text, James chapter 2 and verse 12. Always speak and act as those who know that they are going to be judged. I'll repeat that. Always speak and act as those who know that they will one day face judgment. And then James goes on to say, but be careful, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But mercy will triumph over judgment. So again, merciless is the judgment upon the one who has shown no mercy. Okay, I know this now. I'm going to die, and I'm going to be judged. And I know this. I'm going to need mercy on the day of judgment. You might as well say amen. And therefore, the Lord is saying, be careful. Remember, you're going to be judged in this text. Always speak and act like those who understand this, that know that one day I'm going to face judgment. And be careful, because judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But be assured of this, mercy will triumph over judgment. So in other words, be merciful. At the end of the Our Father, Jesus gives that great prayer, the Our Father, and he concludes with these words, "For if you forgive people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive other people their sins, neither will your Father forgive you yours." Sounds like we got quite a little crowd outside. The Lord goes on to tell a parable. And the parable is this. He says that there was a man who had a huge debt that he could never repay. And so he went to the king to whom he owed the debt, and he said, "Please," he said, "don't throw me in jail. I can never pay you back. Please have mercy on me." And the king waived the entire debt. Now, brothers and sisters, the man then went out and found somebody on the street who owed him just maybe $500. And he said, "Pay what you owe," and he shook him. And the man said, "I can't pay," and this man had him thrown into jail until he paid back the $500. Now the king found out about it and called that servant back and said, "You worthless servant, I had pity on you. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant? Now, throw him into jail." So again, merciless is the judgment on the man who will show no mercy. And that man, although he had experienced mercy, showed no mercy. And Jesus says, "My Father will treat you in just this way if you do not have mercy on your brother. If you will not show mercy, you will not experience mercy." So these are some background texts that I want you to keep in mind. And again, the basic premise is this. I'm going to be judged. I'm going to need mercy. And so the Lord's advice is, therefore, be merciful. And if you are, I will show you mercy. Someone say, praise the Lord. I will show you mercy on the day of judgment. But be careful. If you're harsh, mean-spirited, cruel, revengeful, bitter, backbiting, refusing to give anyone any leeway at any time, if this is who you are, and that's the measure that you use to deal with other people, that is the measure that I will deal with you. And so the Lord says, let's reason together. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to the gospel today and see how the Lord himself applies this standard. You know the story, but let's just get all the facts in front of us. There is a woman who has been caught in the act of committing adultery. Now, she's definitely guilty. This is not a question here. She's definitely guilty. The story is clear enough. She's caught in the very act. But here's something I want to just say as an aside. If she was caught in the very act of adultery, that means that the man who was involved is surely known to the same officials. Amen? And now the law of Moses says that not only should a woman who commits adultery be stoned, but also the man. Now, where's the man? All right. Now, just so you know that this is all trumped up. These charges are real. She's committed this sin. But to throw the book at her mentality is directed only to the woman in question. This teaches you and me that these Pharisees and teachers of the law are not simply interested in a legal question. They are not on the level. They are not good or decent men. Now, they bring this woman to Jesus, and they say, look, the law permits that we should be able to have a woman like this stoned to death. How say you, teacher? The text says they were trying to trap Jesus, to make him either appear as someone who didn't care about the law, or to make him appear as rigid and strict, and everyone would hate him. Either way, it would seem Jesus is going to lose. That's their intention. But Jesus uses it as a moment to teach. And he says nothing at first. They want an answer from Jesus. Jesus says, bent down, stooped down on the ground, and began to write. The Greek word could also be translated trace on the ground. Every now and then I'll hear a preacher say, well, he was probably writing their sins in the dust. Well, it's probably not exactly what's happening here for a couple of reasons. First of all, this was a pavement. In the temple, it was all paved. There wasn't a lot of sand to write in. Secondly, most of them couldn't read anyway. It wouldn't do the Lord a lot of good to write out their sins if they couldn't even read them, see? So, but he's certainly doing a tracing motion on the ground. Now, I have a different theory, and it's only a theory, but it serves for the purpose. That the Lord was tracing on the ground, kind of like a person who's reading a book sometimes does. A kind of a reading action. You ever do that with your finger when you're reading? You sort of trace with your finger? Now, here's what I think the Lord is trying to say to them. My brothers, he says basically to them, let's reason together about this. Now, you want me to throw the book at this woman. But before we do that, my brothers, let's reason together here. Before I throw the book at her, let me open up the book. Are you following me? Let me open up the book. And let me see what's in this book about you. They don't seem to get it at first. So Jesus stands up and he says, let the one among you who has not committed sin be the first one permitted to throw the stone at her. But they keep asking, can we stone her or not? Can we stone her? Jesus just bends down to the ground, starts tracing again as though he were reading from the book. Again, in a way, saying to the men, reason with me, gentlemen. If you want me to throw the book at her, there are some things in this book about you. And remember, the measure that you measure to others will be the measure that God will use for you. Gentlemen, are you sure you really want to throw the book at her? Now, it's not about guys 2,000 years ago. He's asking you right now. Are you sure that we ought to throw the book at her? All right, church, it's getting kind of quiet in here. I would imagine that as the Lord opened the book, he would probably read some things about these men. Oh, they thought they were righteous. I pay my tithes, I go to the synagogue, so on. But the Lord might say, well, according to this, one of you has despised the poor. And God says, I hear the cry of the poor. Another of you has used my name in vain on more than one occasion. Scripture says, I will not leave unpunished anyone who uses my name in vain. The text here says that some of you have committed lustful thinking, lustful thoughts. The Lord warns against this, and so on. You see the idea. There's plenty of stuff in the book, amen? Now, your sins are in the book, my sins are in the book, they're all in the book. Now, be careful, because if any of us think that we should throw the book at this woman, be careful, because the Lord's going to throw the same book at you. And you got some stuff in this book. I promise you, you got some stuff in this book. And I got some stuff in this book. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to answer. Lord, I think we need to reconsider whether we should throw the book at her. And one by one, the men start to get it. And beginning with the eldest, or the oldest, they drift away. They're reconsidering now. The Lord has basically said, men, you come to me and proposed that we should throw the book at this woman, that we should have her stoned. And I've reminded you that judgment will be without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. I've reminded you that the measure that you use to measure others will be the measure that the Lord will use to measure you. Now, gentlemen, there's stuff about you in this book. And one by one, they got it. And they drifted away. Now, it's not about people 2,000 years ago. It's about us. And I want to just say, not everyone in this congregation struggles with forgiveness or mercy. Some do, some don't. All of us have struggled in some way with it. But be very, very careful that you don't adopt an attitude of being mean-spirited, of carping on people and harping on them and driving them and showing them no mercy and giving them no leeway. Be very careful that you don't refuse to forgive. Be very careful before you say, Lord, call down the armies of heaven on them. Bring lightning and strike them from the face of the earth. Be very careful with this type of attitude, because these texts have promised us that if we have that attitude toward people in our life, the Lord will use that same measure for us. And you know where it's hardest? In our families. Holding grudges, never forgetting, never letting go of the point, refusing to talk to certain individuals, refusing to deal with them, refusing to forgive, revenge, bitterness, holding grudges, resentfulness, passive-aggressive behaviors. It happens. It goes on. You know what? We just got to get on our knees and say, Lord, I'm begging you. Lord, I'm begging you. Take away the hurt, the pain, the anger that drives me to be unforgiving, unmerciful, unkind, lacking of compassion. Lord, please take it away. If you find anything that's not like you, you know what to do, Lord. Just take it away from me. Take it away from me. We got to beg for this, because some of us are carrying around real hurts, and we have been hurt and harmed and offended. But the Lord is simply saying to us today, reason with me now. If you begin to adopt this harsh, mean-spirited, critical, unforgiving, carping attitude, it's going to go badly for you on the day of judgment, and you are going to die, and you are going to be judged. So reason with me and get ready for that day. A final thought, and then I'm done. It is a true fact that we do have to correct the sinner. It is a true fact that at times we need to punish the sinner. That will depend a little bit on our position. Sometimes we're a parent and we have to punish a child. And sometimes punishments have to escalate. If a little talking to won't work, then we have to ground them, and we have to sort of escalate a little bit to bring it home. It is a true fact that sometimes in the workplace, some of you are supervisors and you need to discipline employees. It is a true fact that some of us have sat on juries and have had to assess punishments and so on. All of these are true facts. The Lord is not saying, never speak about sin, pretend sin doesn't exist. But the Lord is telling us to be very, very careful that we not be overly harsh if it's not necessary. So it is that I want to read to you a text from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 that gives us very good advice, because it teaches us that, yes, we do have to correct one another. We do have to sometimes even punish one another, depending on our relationship with each other. But the Lord gives a very good advice through St. Paul. And Paul says this: "Brethren, if someone among you is detected in sin, you who live by the Spirit should gently set him right. But be careful," he says, "so that you don't fall into sin yourself." Now, there's a lot here. It simply says, though, if someone among you is detected in sin. Let's be clear. There is such a thing as sin. There is such a thing as right and wrong. And we have to speak to each other about it in love. So the Lord says through St. Paul, if someone is detected in sin, those of you who live by the Spirit should gently set them right. Did you hear that word, gently? We don't always need to go in with guns blazing and the full ammunition. Sometimes a simple, kind word of reminder is enough. But we go and we correct with humility, with kindness, with compassion. And only if those things don't work do we have to sometimes turn it up a little bit, if necessary. But we always begin with kindness, patience, mercy, and compassion. And so it is that the text goes on then to say, and be careful when you do this, so that you don't fall into sin yourself. Everything we've just been talking about today, being unnecessarily cruel, unnecessarily unkind, lacking in compassion, using a cannon to kill a flea. Be careful. We need to correct one another, but we need to be very careful, because it's too easy for us to be arrogant, to try to just win an argument with somebody. Instead of correcting with love and with compassion, we correct with anger and bitterness and resentfulness and arrogance. And so again, St. Paul says, correct, but be gentle and be careful, because it's too easy for us to lack mercy and to lack kindness when we correct others. So the Lord then is left alone with this woman. And he simply says to her, has no one condemned you? No one, sir. Well, then I don't condemn you either. In other words, I'm not going to throw the book at you. I'm not going to declare that you should be stoned. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to be merciful. But, he says, do not commit this sin again. So the Lord is clear with her that what she has done is wrong. But he shows her mercy and calls her to the correct behavior. And that is for us a model. The Lord is clear, but he is also kind. The Lord is clear with her, but he is also certain that what she has done is wrong and it needs to be avoided in the future. And that's a good model for us. Well, I'm done. I just want to say, by way of conclusion, that you're going to get judged. You got an appointment, so do I. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to need a lot of mercy that day. So I'm going to try to take the Lord's advice, and I'm going to try to be merciful and kind and compassionate, and only use strong measures when absolutely necessary and as a last recourse. I don't know about you, but I want it to go well for me on the day of judgment. And the Lord is saying something amazing. He's saying, you can actually have influence on the day of your judgment based on what you do today. I have it on the best of authority that these men got the message. And I have it on the best of authority that they were singing an old gospel hymn as they departed one by one. The Lord said, my brothers, are you sure you want to throw the book at her? There's some stuff about you in this book. And one by one, they reconsidered. And as they left, I have it on the best of authority that they sang Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. Oh, no, it's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. It's me, O Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for reminding me that I got stuff in this book, too. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen.